You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work, and this is your host, Pat Randall, on this wonderful Thursday. Amen. Here we are again. Well, today I am going to be revisiting a message that was done in 2018 called Liberty in Christ, and I had invited guests on several of the podcast in the series to discuss their experience of finding liberty in Christ, what it meant to them, what it took, the experiences that they went through in order to move into a greater level of freedom in Christ. Jesus came to set the captives free. He understood from the very beginning that we were captives, that we were in a world that was designed to hold us prisoner, that the lies and the deception begins very early in your life, and it comes in different forms and through different systems that exist in this world. I want to encourage you today, as you listen to an excerpt from Liberty in Christ, to not give up on yourself and on your growth in Christ. It is so easy for us to give up on life because of so many disappointments, but it starts with the disappointments that we have in ourselves. And when we become disappointed in ourselves, we end up becoming disappointed in life. But I want this to encourage you that God already knew this. That's why salvation comes through faith, by believing. Believing, not by works. It has nothing to do with our accomplishments. But salvation has freely been given to us through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. This salvation has built within it safeguards for our lives. That's why there are scriptures that say things like, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are called according to his purpose. So we are called according to his purpose, which is a purpose beyond what we can really begin to imagine. But we trust, because he says it's his perfect love that casts out all fear. He says that in the world that there's going to be trials and tribulations, but we can be of good courage because he has overcome. Through him, salvation has come, and it's a free gift. What we have to do is to begin to stop judging ourselves. And once we get better at not judging ourselves, we become better at not judging others. And really getting a Christ perspective of this life that we have, that we are in him, that there's nothing that can ever separate us from his love. And that he is for us. He knows. You can tell by the things that Jesus said. Read the New Testament so that you can clearly understand this. He knew that we would go through this up and down process of spiritual growth, coming into the revelation of who we are. And it comes in stages, because we don't always see where we're falling short. But thank God for his Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, who is a comforter, someone who walks alongside of us, and he knows the exact moment when to reveal something to us. He knows when we are ready to really let go and to step into that freedom, into that place of liberty. Don't give up on yourself. Don't be negative about yourself. Keep reminding yourself that it is Christ in you that is your hope of glory. He is in you, his very spirit. Why would he put his very spirit on the inside of us? Why would he create us in his image? Because it is who we are. And when you read the scriptures, read it through this perfect love that our Father has for us. It will help us to see the scriptures more clearly. So often we're looking at the scriptures and we're looking for something to condemn us, to tell us that we don't have it together, that we're not getting it right. But there is a liberty from good and evil, and it's the tree of life. It is Christ Jesus, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So cut yourself some slack. Know that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Be blessed by what you hear today on this broadcast. Father, we thank you, for your word is truth and life. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the oneness that we share with you, that we're never separated from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are in us. God is in us, and we are in him. There is no separation. And we thank you for this truth that makes us free. Amen. Be blessed. Liberty in Christ. And may you continue to pursue this liberty.
Joining me today, I have my daughter, Minister Jordana Cunningham, with me.
Hey.
And we're going to start this second discussion. So I'm looking forward to what the Holy Spirit is doing. So, Jordana, you want to start us off with prayer?
Bless his name. Thank you, Jesus. You are good and your mercy endures forever. God, we just come to you with a heart of thanksgiving because you are God and you are good. You are love and so we are love. You are perfect and so we are perfect. And so we thank you for that, God. We thank you for all that you are, for all that you do, and for all that we are in you, God. We thank you that you just bless this time, Lord God. I thank you that whatever needs to be said, Lord God, to bless your people, that it would be said, Father
thank
God.
You,
I thank
Jesus.
You that we would just have fun in you today because there is fun and liberty in Jesus. And so we thank you for that, Lord. So bless the listener,
amen.
Lord God. And I thank you that we would meet everyone at the point of their need. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, what I heard was having fun in the conversation. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, we get so serious about our faith that we forget that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the interesting thing is that I just heard a pastor a couple of days ago make that statement that let's have fun. You know, we should be having fun because it's the joy of the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And the scripture tells us that laughter is like good medicine for our souls.
Absolutely.
Praise God. So, amen. So, I'm going to read the Greek definition of liberty that's found in these scriptures. And then we are going to take off from there. I'm going to start off with Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and an opening to the eyes of the blind. Romans 8:2-4. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free.
Amen.
And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Glory.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is,
hello,
there is
Liberty.
Hallelujah.
Say it again. Say that one again. That's a good one. Say it again. Go ahead.
Now, the Lord is the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So I'm going to kick this off by asking you a question, my love.
Uh-uh.
And this question is, how is liberty in Christ showing up in your life right now?
Right now. Oh, Jesus. So let's see. I would say the answer is probably multi-layered because God is multi-layered. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like, and when you get in God and the deeper you get in God, you're just like, there's more than one answer. There's more than one way in which it's showing up. So, you know, I'll talk about one of the things I can think of, but there's just so much to him. And then there's so much to us in him. And then there's so much mm-hmm. to us with him. It's just a lot going on with Jesus. It's
Amen.
Just a lot. It's a lot. It's
Amen.
All beautiful, but it's a lot. So, what I would say about freedom right now in my life, One of the biggest things that I am working through right now, and where I'm walking through this process and it's becoming a lot easier, is freedom from expectation. And that is expectations that I have about other people, and then expectations that other people may have about me. And so expectations I have about other people. So because we are alive and none of us live on an island by ourselves, hopefully if you're listening, you're not on an island by yourself.
Amen.
You're in relationship with someone's, some persons, mm-hmm. whether that's family members, on your job, in your home, if you're married, if you have children. There are so many different types of relationships. And even though we don't consciously think about all the expectations that we're holding all of these different relationships to, we are generally holding several expectations for every group of people that we are in relationship with.
Well, say so.
And I am finding that I am becoming more aware of those expectations and mm-hmm. letting them go, because even those are binding, because we find, like, even I find my emotions are weighed by or are swayed by if someone has met my expectation about this thing. So if I'm on my job and I thought I was going to get a bonus and I don't get it because that's what I was expecting, then I have an attitude with the person I was expecting it from. So just like the small things, or, you know, I'm married. And so if I have an expectation about my husband and then my husband doesn't show up the way I think he should, then I got an attitude. So I am recognizing my expectations and learning to let them go. Am I by any means conquered all of those? No. But I'm working on it, and I find that the more I am letting them go as they come up, the easier it is to relate to people without expectation, and Amen. Being okay Amen. With That's however right. people show up, because, mm-hmm. you know, we shouldn't be so tied to people and what they can or can't do for us, or, you know, how they fail us or how they don't fail us, whatever.
Right.
That we can't function. So I'm finding that my expectation is in Jesus. And so if it's important for me to keep my expectation vertical, like the way up, like up down is my expectation. And all of my parallel relationships, people who are in relationship with me on this earth, I'm learning to let that go. Second to that is the expectations, like self expectations, either mm-hmm. people think I'm supposed to be a certain way or do uh-huh. a certain thing, or yeah. the expectations I put on myself. So I'm learning both to let those go, what I expect of myself, and letting myself off the hook, and with being okay if I don't meet other people's expectations. If they're disappointed in how I show up and don't show up, I'm learning how to be okay with that too. Amen. Now, sometimes that can rub people the wrong way.
Absolutely.
When you are yes. really okay with yourself and you're not beating yourself up about how you missed it, and they're looking at you like, you know, you say you're sorry and you're good. Sometimes people listen. They're like, no. Wait a minute, you need to beat yourself a little bit more about where you missed it.
Absolutely.
So that's been an interesting journey.
Yeah, I think that's part of the conditioning too that we have, that we grow up being taught that when you mess up, there has to be a certain level of guilt and condemnation that has to take place in order for you to actually change and be better the next time. But really, you will find that that's not really true, which is why the scripture, it tells us that there is now, therefore, no condemnation, because we will keep playing that same record over and over again. And I think even last week, Reverend Ray and I touched on it for a moment, because we can fall or do something, commit some sin or mistreat or say something we didn't mean to say, and we can go into a mode, because I used to go into a mode that I would condemn myself and feel so guilty. I didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't want to show up at church.
Just take the whip out and start beating yourself on the back.
Just exactly. And One of the liberties is that Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. And what came along with that sin was that condemnation and beating yourself over the back. And the more we free ourselves, the more we're able to free other people.
There you go.
Because we're not just freeing ourselves from expectations that we place on ourselves and being disappointed when we don't make our expectation, but we grant that same grace to other people. And when you discover this liberty and understand that it is a liberty, you have to fight to keep it.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
You have to fight to keep it because you're always being challenged. You know, it's like the devil said, you so forgiving and you so this. And then he said, well, what about this?
Let me give you this example. Listen, what else I've also learned in this process is that when you are walking in freedom of expectations, I have to be careful not to, even if, so someone comes to me and they're disappointed in my behavior or something. And I earnestly say, you know, I'm sorry and I apologize. But in my head, I will start saying, you know, the person who's bringing this to me and who's mm-hmm. pointing out, you know,
right.
all of my stuff, I'm thinking, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I can count 8 things that I don't hold you. You know, I don't have this expectation about you about. And so I have to work on that because I will start listing stuff in my head. Like, listen, mm-hmm. this goes both ways. I don't do it out loud anymore, but I need to get it out of my head. I don't put that list of the expectations. Like, listen, this is a two-way street here. Don't act like this is just one way. Okay.
Amen. Amen. And you know, and the good thing is that we can realistically expect freedom in any area in our lives where we are dealing with stuff because Christ has done it.
Amen.
It's already done. He has already set the captives free. Mm-hmm. He did that on the cross. And so for us to think that it's unachievable,
it's already been achieved.
If it's left up to us, it would be unachievable, right. but it's already done. So now we're on the journey of discovering this freedom that we now have.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to decide how much of this freedom we want to experience.
Hello.
Because sometimes we want to stay bound to something.
Hello. It's comfortable and we know it.
We know the jail cell.
Listen.
And it's just like people in the natural who committed a crime and they are repeat offenders and they start to get comfortable with being in a prison cell. They know they're going to get their meals. They know, you know, their structure because they go to bed a certain time. You got to wake up. I mean, and they adjust to that.
Mm-hmm. And they start thinking that's where they belong.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Well, start believing that that's where they belong.
That thought life.
Absolutely. I was thinking about the scripture, let this mind. Let me see. I think I even pointed
out. Let this mind be in you.
Mm-hmm.
It was also in Christ.
It's in Philippians 2. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it says, let this mind be. So what it's telling us is that we can allow that same mind that Christ had. And so then you have to look at, okay, so what kind of mind did Christ have?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go through the scriptures, which is good to go through the scriptures, especially studying the life of Christ, because he's our brother. We are in him. And so we are meant to be just like him, which is why we've been placed in him. So looking at the scriptures, if you look at how Jesus' mind worked, how he interacted with people, Even his enemies.
Exactly.
Even his enemies. But the beautiful part is that we have this. That we can actually get there by faith.
Jesus.
That we can actually get there by faith.
Hello.
That is absolutely amazing.
It is.
It's amazing. The other thing is, and I hit on it a little bit last week, but I'd like to go back, get back on it, having that, judging someone else's liberty.
What? Hello. Hello?
I'm telling you, because we get this thing fixed in our minds.
What liberty looks like.
What liberty is supposed to look like.
Ooh.
And if it doesn't fit my definition of what liberty is.
Well.
And so we have to trust God. We have to trust the work of the Holy Spirit in our brothers and sisters' lives.
Amen.
Even if they say that they're free, but yet they live something else where the fruit of it says you're really not free, but you can pray and not hold them captive.
Mm-hmm.
Because we tend to even want to make people prisoners.
Listen.
And hold them captive. What are you thinking?
I want you to answer the same question you asked me.
Oh, about how liberty showing up in my life?
Hello?
Oh, my goodness. No, you didn't. No, well, you didn't.
Hello?
Yes, you did. Yes, she did. That's my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you, let me tell you something.
Your life coach. Oh,
you know you need to stop. My life coach. She loves saying that she's my life coach. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was a point where she was. But she's refusing to let go of coaching.
Tis true. Tis true.
Okay?
All right. Okay.
So, even I can, I'm much better at it, but even with you, this mother-daughter thing, you know, as a mother and a daughter, you have expectations.
Ooh.
About your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect them to show up a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always have to remind myself, wait a minute. You have to just let go. You have to, like, just let go.
Yeah.
Let go. Because what it is what I find, it's just a conditioning. Because expectations were put on me as someone's daughter, you know, even though I wasn't raised by my mother, but the people that I was raised with had an expectation that they placed on me, and I needed to live up to that expectation. And when I didn't live up to it, then I was condemned for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was made to feel guilty about not living up to that. Mm-hmm. That expectation. But I guess another major thing for me, because, you know, for so many years, I was such a performance-oriented person. My identity was so tied in to my performance.
Mm.
It was a difficult thing for me to let go. And I still have to battle against. I have broken a lot of the cycles and the patterns and by renewing my mind and talking to myself and using the word of God to replace some of these thoughts that actually drive me.
Mm-hmm.
Into performance.
Mm-hmm.
And replacing them with God's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, there's still times when I have to still remind myself that it's not up to me.
Give an example of what performance used to look like. Like, what did you do that was a performance?
Well, in the work environment.
Mm-hmm.
In the work environment, and even in the church, laboring in the church environment, because it was the same person at the regular work environment and in doing ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Was that I was, unfortunately, I was self-sacrificing. mm-hmm. which was another thing that I discovered, and I thought that my willingness to sacrifice myself was made me feel better about myself. And so then when I found other people who weren't willing to go the extra mile or to experience any kind of discomfort in order to accommodate someone else, I would judge them, and I considered myself a better person,
right?
Because I was so self-sacrificing. But what I later learned was that I was sacrificing things that God wasn't asking me to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I was deciding.
You mean your 14-hour work days?
Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm telling you. And I felt the need, like, if there was unfinished things that someone else should have done and it didn't get done, then I felt like I was the one that needed to step in. I'm going to give you an example. Now, if there's anyone listening who knows me from my past may recognize this story, but I'm going to tell the story. I won't name any names. The identities will remain undisclosed. But I remember working for an organization, and it was a Christian organization, and I had broken my arm. I had fallen down. I had an accident where I had fallen down and broken my arm. I mean, broke the arm clean through, mm-hmm. right?
Bones
the large
separated.
Bones. The bones separated, mm-hmm. right? So it was a major nerve damage, all kinds of stuff going on. And it happened in the winter time. Well, I had the responsibility of preparing homegoing programs and things like that for members, deceased members. And we had had a terrible snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And so even so, the major roads were pretty clean, but the side streets, of course, you know, there was slow things. So I'm home popping pain pills and nursing this one arm. Now, I'm working with one arm, mind you.
Is this before or after it had actually been put in the cast?
It was in the cast.
It was in the cast.
It was okay. In the cast, right. And I get a phone call from the Christian organization saying that there is a homegoing service that's coming up and once the roads get clear. But in the meantime, the program needed to be done. And that they would send someone with the truck with the snow removal shovel mm-hmm. on it, and shovel out the road on the street that I lived in and drive me back. Now, I'm talking about an organization that had several hundred members. Now, before I came to work there, someone was doing those homegoing programs. But yet, because of how I showed up, my performance, they knew that they could call me and I would sacrifice, I would climb up in that truck after they'd shoveled out the snow, drive into everybody's home, and I go to work, and I'm in a building with a broken arm, working with one hand, typing with one hand, and doing a homegoing program. Mm. And then I had the nerve to think that I had achieved some level of, I don't know, greatness spiritually, because I did this with this broken arm, popping my painkillers, and working with this one little hand.
Oh.
And that's an extreme situation.
We deceive ourselves.
But that's how extreme, that's how blinding it can be. You don't even realize that you are a prisoner. You're a prisoner to your insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a prisoner to, if you have low self-esteem, you become a prisoner to that.
Absolutely.
You know, and so all of these things, unforgiveness, I mean, all these things are designed to imprison us. And of course, the enemy always wants to bring those very things up because he knows those are the things that puts us back in jail.
Exactly, because he don't want us walking free.
Does not want us walking through because he free because he understands how powerful
well
we are.
Don't get me to shout.
Glory.
And what a mess we can make up and through this earth, walking around in power and freedom.
Yes, walking in this true identity that God has for us. And one of the things that I said last week that I think I should repeat again is that love is liberty.
Yes, it is.
When you are loving the way God, the spirit of love that God has placed in us, mm-hmm. when we His are love. Operating in that agape love, that there's nothing the enemy can do.
He can't do
against
anything
us. He can't do anything.
Not one thing.
Which is why he couldn't touch Jesus.
Absolutely.
He could find nothing in Jesus. He couldn't push a button. He couldn't do any. He couldn't pluck a string.
I want to get there, Lord.
That's what
I want to get there.
That's my heart's
desire.
Where he
can't push no buttons.
Where he can't push any buttons.
I want to get there.
Glory
that's my desire.
To God. More, 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 more. And the way to get there is to deepen our relationship.
Absolutely.
With the Lord.
Face to face.
It's not enough to just know the scriptures. But to be that personal, that intimacy.
Yeah, face to face.
You know, where you're having conversations with him. It's almost, he's in the room with you and mm-hmm. you're talking with him and you're sharing your heart, you're sharing your failures, you're just sharing, you know, he's your best friend.
I in my head, I picture you looking God in the face and holding his face and he's looking you in the face and he's holding your face.
Oh, that's a good image. That's a good image.
And we see ourselves in his eyes, and he sees himself in us. And it's just, I'm about to start crying, Jesus.
Amen.
But Amen. It's so good.
Amen. Amen. He is that good. I think this is a moment we can stop and pray because, you know, the time, as usual, always moves. Hallelujah. You want to start praying for our listeners.
Okay. Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're here with us.
Yes, you are, Jesus.
I thank you, God, that you are never apart from us, that you're always with us, that you're walking through this process of freedom and liberty. I thank you, Lord, for every listener, Lord God, who will listen live and who will listen later, Lord God. I thank you that even as I pray this prayer, Lord God, you are Hallelujah. Opening the doors of jail cells, Lord God,
Hallelujah.
That you are dropping down nuggets of revelation that will springboard into thoughts and epiphanies and revelations, Lord God, that will springboard people into new levels of freedom in their personal walks, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that for anyone who's listening who doesn't think they deserve freedom, Lord God, that you would come and kiss them on the forehead, Lord God, and let them know that it's okay for them to be free too, that they can let go of those things that keep them bound, Lord God, the guilt, the shame, the hurt, Lord God, the trauma they have experienced, Lord God, the things that they have held so closely, Lord God, that it's okay for them to open up their hands and to give it to you, Lord God. Your word says that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Lord God, and that if we cast our cares upon you, Lord God, if we cast our cares upon you, God, if we just cast our cares upon you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's all we need to do, God. It's just everything that we hold on to so tightly, we just give it to you. We just
let it
go, Lord God, so
Thank
that
Jesus.
We can take our burdens, Lord God, and get your freedom in return, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
That we can walk around this earth with a smile on our face, not because we are free from tribulation or trial, but because we know that you have already overcome them all, Lord God.
Bless
we walk in confidence because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, Lord God. We know that you have already run the race that has already been won, Lord God. So this life is our victory lap, God. Amen. And we just want to walk in everything that you have for us, Lord God. We don't want to miss one moment of what you want for us to receive and to be in this time and in this season, God. So I thank you, Lord God, that there are droplets of nuggets of freedom and revelation that are pouring out right now as I pray this prayer over your people in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.